How there were those who said I'd surely fall when I told them I'd given Jesus my all. And I guess I really can't blame them for having their doubts, for they only knew what I used to be. But oh, what a difference the Lord made in me. What I got was real, and praise God I'm still serving Him now. Forever changed, I'm forever changed. He changed the heart of me. He changed my eternal destiny. All things passed away.
Thank God for the day I'm forever changed.
Now if this life was all that He promised to me, friend, I'd still choose to serve the Lord faithfully. But I cannot begin to imagine what He has in store. For once I was lost and I was headed for hell, but then I got saved and now all is well. My forever began when I took the precious hand of Jesus my Lord. Forever changed, I'm forever changed.
All things are brand new, I tell you it's true. I'm not the same.
When He changed the heart, change my eternal destiny. Old things passed away.
Thank God for the day
my forever changed. Forever changed, I'm forever changed.
All things are brand new, I tell you it's true.
He changed the heart of me. He changed my eternal destiny. All things passed away. Thank God for the day. Forever changed. When He changed the heart of me, He changed my eternal destiny.
Passed away, behold, all things are become new. And I'm thankful this morning that I'm a new creature. And some days I look more like a creature than others. I'm a creature with a suit on this morning. And but anyway, it's good to be here. Appreciate the Lord and all that He does for His people. And you know, the fruits of a Christian are seen in the things they do or the desires they have. Loving His Word, engaging in prayer, reaching out to a fellow brother and sister in need, those things are fruits of a Christian, wanting to be closer to the Lord. And we don't always succeed at those things, but at the end of the day, if those desires are there undergirding our profession, then we know that we know Him, and we know we pass from death unto life, as the Scripture says, because we love the brethren. Well, it's good to be here this morning, and I want to welcome everyone to Calvary Baptist Church of Powder Springs. And I was thinking this morning, well, the sun's shining. Now it is. It's shining. The S-U-N outside. The S-O-N shining on the inside. And the same way that the S-U-N shines out there, there's vitamin C to be absorbed. The same thing in here, when the S-O-N is shining, there's vitamin C to be absorbed. That vitamin C is Christ. And anyway, that didn't cost you nothing. Just a little freebie as we get started this morning. And such a blessing to be here. It's an honor and a joy. I want to say from the very bottom of my heart and the top of my heart, thank you for making my birthday special. And I'm telling you, just showered me with just your loving kindness and gifts. Showered me with cake. And I'm glad it wasn't a literal shower with cake. We'd be in trouble. But anyway, next time, we'll have a cake fight next time. And hey, it's okay to smile and have a good time in God's house. We can say amen to that. And just appreciate Calvary Baptist Church. Appreciate every person here. Thank you for being here this morning. Want to welcome our visitors. If this is your first time with us, to Calvary Baptist Church, would you raise a hand? And all right, well, we got one that's back with us for the second time, but one new one, and we'll have an information packet coming to you shortly, a visitor's card, and you can just fill that out, put it in the offering plate. We just want a record of your visit, and I might like to follow up with you in the next week or two and to see what your desires are. Thank you for being with us. Do have a few things I want to mention. I have a card here from Paul Tuck. As you know, he's been going through a lot. And, had a couple heart surgeries, and he's doing well, doing better. We're going to go visit with him this coming week. But he says, "Thank you to my church family for all the prayers and cards during my illness over the past several months. I love and appreciate every one of you for accepting me, making me feel so welcome. Thank you, Morgan Pawtuck." And so we love Brother Paul Pawtuck and his family. And so you continue to remember him in prayer. And just a few updates and prayer requests. Let's continue to remember those on our prayer sheet. Again, it's a lengthy one, and it grows weekly. Let's remember the cousin of Larry Bennett, Allen, with a severe arm infection. I do believe he's getting some better from that. Let's remember Shelly Matt as she recovers from her stay in the hospital. I believe she's home now. That's good. And also, let's remember Miss Catherine Plemons, her mother, just having a very, very rough time. And Miss Catherine is with her 24/7 now. Brother Ceylon could testify at the situation, but pray for her, pray for him, pray for Catherine's mom, as she seemingly is declining in health during this time, getting very rough upon her. And let's remember Miss Amanda Martin's stepdad and his situations with a kidney failure and such. Is he about the same? Let's remember him. And let's also remember Miss Shirley Townsend. Her and Brother James are with us this morning. And she didn't get the best doctor's report from the biopsy she had on her lungs and those spots on her lungs. And so she has cancer, has some tumors, some nodules there, up in the lymph nodes and in the right lung. And actually, I want to have a special time of prayer for Miss Shirley this morning. In just a moment, when we have our morning prayer, I do want us all to come to the altar to have prayer over her. She's awaiting further information and instruction from the doctors to know what path to take concerning her healing and those cancerous spots. And so let's pray for her. Really grab hold of heaven for Miss Shirley, and as we do for your family as well every time something comes up. Also, let's remember special conference tonight. Of course, it's concerning the roof of the church, so no alarm to anybody. Everything's okay. This is a special conference concerning our roof of the church. We're going to get a new roof, and a lot of things going to be repaired. The steeple's coming off. It's getting cleaned and possibly painted and putting back on. And so that's exciting. I'm glad of that. And to have a fresh, bright, white steeple there as you come over the bridge into Powder Springs, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. All right. Well, there's other things to mention, but we'll mention those throughout the day today. And yes, sir. Barbara Ann is she's back in the hospital. Good to see Miss Barbara Anderson. And she is busy taking care of Miss Barbara, and appreciate her faithfulness to do that with her. All right, I tell you what, let's do this morning. All that would come and let's meet in the altar. Miss Shirley, if you would come down. Brother James, I know it's up to you if you can come down or not. If not, you can stay right there with your oxygen. But you come down, and all that would, all of our deacons and teachers and lay people, church members, all that would and can, let's come and pray for Miss Shirley. Brother James, her family has gone through a lot already, and I texted Miss Shirley yesterday and told her, I said, well, you know, we already know how big our God is, but we will accept the path that He's laid out before us, and we'll walk together down this path. And but this morning, Miss Shirley and Brother James, I'm trusting the Lord for your healing and support from your family. Got a wonderful family. And we're praying that God, through the doctors, will touch you, and in time we'll receive that good bill of health. Absolutely.
Sometimes the cup that you serve us is bitter to the taste. Lord, know that when the cross is applied, bitter things can become sweet for us. Father, as Moses cast that tree in the water, those bitter waters were made sweet. Father, I pray for a coverage and protection. Lord, I pray that you would give the umbrella of grace over Miss Shirley and Brother James during this time, Lord. I pray that you would touch her body, touch her lungs, and touch her mind, and Brother James as well. Because Miss Shirley helping Brother James, and now James is called on to help Miss Shirley. And what a wonderful picture of a biblical marriage this is. How that one spouse waits upon the other, and the other prefers the other above herself. Lord, we love this family. God, we know that you will touch her, Lord, whatever path it is, Lord, that you choose. Dear God, we know that you are large and you're in charge. And God, we know that you use doctors. And God, you use medicine to perform things that man can't do. So, Father, we, with a pure heart, holy hands, Lord, call upon God for her. That you would lead, guide, direct, instruct. All that you would send her to the right doctors. Touch her body, Lord. Bring her to health speedily. Whatever it is, Lord, that you're wanting to show her through this. There's always something you want us to know through every situation in life. Whatever it is, Lord, I pray she'll be sensitive to that. And Lord, that she could turn the tables and use this for a testimony. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name.
Choir, if you will stand with me. Church, if you will stand. And can we sing together that chorus that says, Jesus, Jesus, there is something about that name. I believe there's healing in his name this morning, don't you? Amen. Something about that name, Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after. Yes, there's something about that name. Yes, there's something about that name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated. Again, it is great to see you this morning in the house of the Lord. Those that are visiting with us, you are our special guests, and we thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship. Please remember the children's home as they travel today, and I pray the Lord will be with them, bring them back home safely to us. And so let's remember the service this evening at 6 o'clock, of course, Wednesday night Bible study, and a prayer meeting at 7. Choir, if you'll be here with me, let's make it 5:15 this evening, 5:15 for choir practice. And next Sunday is Mother's Day, and please be here if you can. If you're in need of visiting your mother next Sunday. We totally would encourage that and understand that. I know some will be with their mothers next Sunday. Some of you will be bringing your mother here, and we would encourage that as well. But let's fill the house of the Lord next Sunday morning. Next Sunday evening, there will be no service, so that you can spend time with your mother and your family. And I was telling the class this morning, well, I'd love to be able to spend some time with my mother next Sunday. There will be a time when we're able to do that in a land far better than this.
Yes, amen.
There'll be no more sickness and no more disease over there, and we look forward to that. But if you can spend time with your mother next weekend, we encourage you to do that. If you can bring her to the house of the Lord, I encourage you to do that as well. But remember, next Sunday morning being Mother's Day, and next Sunday evening be no service here at Calvary, so you can spend time with your family. But let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning. Please, again, remember the services of the week. Pray for Pastor this morning. Remember all the prayer requests, and again, there are so many, and we just need to lift one another up in prayer and ask the Lord to have His hand upon each one. But let's go to Him in a word of prayer and ask Him to be in the service this morning. And have some needs here at Calvary, and you go into the kitchen. We have a little situation with the floor down there, so be careful. And the Lord knows all about it. He knows what we need. And let's pray for the offering this morning, as the Lord have His hand upon Calvary financially. Be here tonight, and don't forget about the announcement for the for our meeting here tonight in the evening service. Bless God, Him, and a word of prayer. Brother Don, would you lead us as we pray?
As Amanda comes around this morning, we want to sing a song that says, "We Will Remember." Jackie was just telling me that there have now been 77 books on the Revelation to go out, and we praise the Lord for that. Amen. If you would like a copy and have not signed up, there's a sign-up sheet, of course, down front. Please go ahead and do that. We praise the Lord for that, and we're shooting for that mark of 100, so keep up the good work. You pray for us this morning.
Signs and wonders, you've shown your power. With precious blood, you've shown us your grace. You've been our helper, our liberator, the giver of life with no
have a little treat for you this morning. It's always a blessing to hear Brother Eddie share a song with us. And I got a little message from Brother Jack yesterday. He said, you are in for a blessing. He has a song that he can share with us this morning, if it's okay. And he's going to come this morning. You pray for him. I know it will be a blessing because, again, it always is. And we look forward to hearing from him. Would you please pray for Brother Eddie this morning?
Thank you. I'll tell you what, this church has God in the house this morning.
Amen.
Y'all feel it like I do?
Yes, sir.
Come in here and just get all kind of excited, you know, like you're going to the ice cream store and it's actually him you're here for. All the people that had their prayer requests, I was talking to God a while ago while they were singing that beautiful song. And he's going to touch you. I feel it. He really is. This is a song that I want to dedicate to my mother, Mary Rich. A song that my dad wrote in 1950-ish. He was like 17, 18, something like that. Now, he's in heaven. So now I have two fathers in heaven. And this one's called Those Pearly Gates, and he wrote it, I think he was about 17, 18 years old. Someday I will go to that city, a place where many friends and loved ones wait. I will be with Christ my Lord forever. Just inside those pearly gates, those pearly gates will open wide for me to be at Jesus' side. I'll have a crown of shining. His faithful children home. There will be with Christ our Lord forever. When we meet him at his throne, those pearly gates.
Enjoy the singing this morning. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Appreciate the special there, my brother Eddie. And again, it's good to be here this morning in the house of the Lord. And I just want to say it's good to have our visitors again with us. We don't take that lightly. New Testament book of 2 Timothy this morning. 2 Timothy. The second epistle of Paul, 2 Timothy. Paul's second epistle to Timothy. That is 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. And I want to look at two verses this morning. verse number 20, then verse number 21. 2 Timothy 2, 20, and then verse number 21. Heavenly Father, we come one more time in Jesus' name. Lord, my prayer for the next few moments is that you would hide me behind the cross, and Holy Spirit, you would communicate the truth from your word to the hearts of your people. We have a living word this morning. Father, we pray that much fruit would come from it as a result of this service. We love you. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 2 and verse 20. I want you to notice, Paul says in verse number 20, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. I'm going to call your attention to verse number 20 this morning. Notice, if you would, the word vessels. The word vessels here. The word vessels is in reference to household utensils. It could also be referenced to furniture. And I want us to keep in mind this morning, as we lay the groundwork for the message, that Paul is speaking to young Timothy, who is a pastor at the church of Ephesus. And as Paul is writing to young Timothy, he spends much time in chapter number 2 talking about the people of God and the local church of God. And then we get down to verse number 20, and he says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. And so Paul is using a pictorial image of his house, comparable, I believe at least, to the local church. But I could also go a step further and say to the church, the invisible church in the world, that is, going beyond the local church and just believers that are in the world. It says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Again, the word vessel means here, it means household utensils. It could also mean furniture. Praise the Lord, my family and I, we just got through closing on our house. Praise the good Lord. Friday, and it was a good closing. It lasted about 60 minutes. I timed every minute. And we closed. We believe that the Lord is in that, and He has just blessed every part of it. I told Christy, I said, you know, normally on TV you'll see these commercials of realtors and buying and selling homes, and you always have the couple shaking the keys in front of the house. We bought a home. But they don't tell you about the process you go from selling to buying. The gruesome, long process. We, during Jubilee time, and listen, I give testimony to God for this and praise to Him, but during Jubilee time, we moved all the furniture and all of the possessions out of our home we were moving from. 2,500 pounds of it went to the dump. And Christy is still at me over some of those items that I threw away. But the majority of it, or some of it, went to a storage unit. And now we're getting ready to enter in our other home. And when I think about homes and I think about houses, I think about furniture. And I think about utensils. And I think about things that we need inside a home. And I believe that Paul, when he writes young Timothy, is trying to paint this imagery of a house. And he talks about vessels in a house. He talks about household utensils and furniture, I believe. And I want you to notice another phrase. Look in verse number 21. He says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. I believe in verse number 21 where he says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he's talking about those vessels of dishonor, those who have went from grace to disgrace. He's talking about those in the local church or in the church world as we know it, those who have went from grace to disgrace, those who have or used to be serving in a capacity as a dinner fork or a dinner spoon at the table, those who used to be an active piece of furniture within the invisible church that God used to sit down upon and use greatly. And sometimes those pieces of furniture over time, if they're not maintained and kept up, can lose their durability. They can lose their luster, as it were, when it comes to the silverware, these dinner utensils. I want to take these two verses this morning, and I want to preach a message entitled, A Vessel of Honor. A vessel of honor. I don't know about you this morning, but I want to be a vessel of honor. I want to be that vessel that God can use. Now, while it's true that there are no perfect vessels, often we break and we falter and we fail, but God knows how to put all the pieces back together. He doesn't throw the clay away. He's the one whose hands is on the wheel, and he's the one who is molding and shaping and fashioning this clay. God knows how, and he knows what to do in order to shape us to a place of usability. But I want to be a vessel that God can use this morning, don't you? I want to be, and listen, we're going to get into this in just a moment, but it doesn't matter in the house of God if I'm a chair, or it doesn't matter in the house of God if I'm a spoon. As long as God is using me, and as long as God is using you. A vessel of honor. Three things I want to mention this morning when it comes to this topic, this centerpiece of our message, a vessel of honor that I want to mention. Notice, if you would, in verse number 20, we see the contents of a vessel of honor, or we see the contents of the house. In verse number 20, he says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels or household utensils of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. So in verse 20, we see the contents of the house, the contents of God's house, and that is there are various vessels in God's house. Paul speaks about the variety of vessels. I believe it's in 1 and 2 Corinthians, and even in Romans chapter number 12, Paul gets into spiritual gifts and usury of the believers, and how that everybody has at least one spiritual gift in God's house. But back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I believe it is, Paul talks about the body of Christ, and he talks about how everyone has a gift and everybody is used in the body of Christ. He says we're all not a hand in the body of Christ. We're all not an ear in the body of Christ. We're all not a foot in the body of Christ. Some are the hands of Christ. Some are the feet of Christ. Some are the ears of Christ. And he's ultimately the head. Jesus is. He's the head of the body. But it takes all of us in unity to be and to operate the way God wants us to in his house to bring forth fruit. And so he says that in verse number 20 of 2 Timothy 2, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. I want to stop right there at earth. we see that there are various vessels. And Paul names as illustration at least four kinds of vessels. Notice with me, he says gold. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. Stop there for a moment. There are at least, in this great house Paul is talking about, the imagery, there are at least four kinds of household utensils. Number one, there are those that of gold and silver. And I think about the utensils that are used at supper time. The utensils that are used that when there's time, there's breakfast, there's lunch, there's dinner, there's supper time. Anytime you eat, there's those utensils. These are utensils that shine. These are those utensils that gleam and glisten. Let me say this. There are some spiritual gifts within the body of Christ where you're on the forefront. You're in the limelight. And those that are in the limelight and those who are truly calling by God, whether it's pastor, preacher, teacher, choir director, and so, those who are on the forefront like a spoon or a fork or a gold or silver, that is an extremely sobering place to be. Is when God has, and listen, by no means am I calling myself a gold spoon or a silver spoon or along those lines, any of you, but what I'm saying is they do glisten and they do gleam, and it is a picture of those positions in the limelight. It's places of leadership. And I want to say this morning, it is a very sobering thing to know that God has put you and placed you in a place of leadership for you to shine. Not for yourself, but for His glory. It's a sobering thing. In fact, concerning my position as the pastor of this church and coming behind the pulpit Sunday in and Sunday out, Wednesday in, Wednesday out, it is very sobering. The book of James teaches us to be not many masters or desire to be teachers. There are so many people say, well, if I had the Bible, I would say this. Or if I was a teacher, then I would teach this. Listen, that is a sobering call this morning. To be a pastor, to be a teacher, to open God's Word and to say, thus saith the Word of God. That's a very sobering thing. And so for anybody that holds a position in leadership ought to realize the soberness of that position and that God has handpicked you to be in that position. And we ought to do our very best not to glean or not to be dull in our position, but to shine in our position. I want to shine for Jesus this morning. I want to be a vessel of honor, one that God can use. And so he talks about the gold and the silver, and this is in reference to those items at the dinner plate. But notice what else he says. He says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth. When I first read this, part of me felt like this was talking about just on the surface, a Christian that isn't fully committed and their reference to wood as opposed to gold or silver. But that's not what it's talking about. That's not what it's talking about at all. Because if you read it in the flow of the context, it isn't so much about a position. Well, this one's worthy to be pastor. This one's not worthy. No. All the gifts and callings of God are a grace gift. They are given to us. We didn't choose to do these things. We were drafted into it. But he's naming the pieces of furniture. Some are gold, some are silver, but also wood and of earth. I think about furniture. Listen, in order for the spoon and the knife and the fork to sit by the dinner plate, there has to be a table. There has to be a table for the fork and the knife and the spoon to sit upon. There has to be a table there for the plate to sit upon. Every part of a house, every piece of furniture, every utensil is important in the work of God, in the house of God. You're sitting in wooden pews. Those wooden pews serve a purpose. I'm preaching behind and I'm laying my Bible, God's holy word, upon a wooden pulpit. Wood is not in reference to a lesser Christian or a Christian who isn't serving God as well, but it has to do with variety of gifts. I want you to notice that there are, number one, concerning the contents of this great house, God's house, in the imagery here, it has to do with various vessels, gold and silver, but also of wood and earth. Earth here is in reference to clay. To clay. Brother David, I'm getting ready to take a drink of this water you poured. Oh, thank you, brother. Now, this is a glass, but it could have been a clay piece. It could have been a clay cup. It could have been some kind of utensil along those lines. And Brother David, you quench my thirst, brother. Needful in the house of God for the word of God to be put out. He mentions all kinds. He talks about gold and he talks about silver. He talks about wood in reference to furniture, I believe, even to cups and such. But then earth or clay, pots and things to carry water in. All of those are important. There's a variety in God's house. And I want to say this morning that every person in here matters to God. Every person in here has a gift and a calling from God. If you're not sure what it is, we can pray together. We can walk through it together. But listen, each and every one of us is needful in the house of God. So we see that there's a variety. There's various vessels. But then, notice in verse 20, there's not only various vessels in the house of God, but there's an equality among the vessels. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. And so this, I believe, is laying out before us an equality. You see, some are pastors and preachers and teachers. Some have the gift of helps. Some have the gift of mercy. Some have the gift of giving. And there's no greater one. This one's more worthy. Or this one should be put on a pedestal. This one means more to God than this one, and they should be praised more. There's an equality here. And what that means is that God has given each and every person a gift. And when it comes to the overall functioning of God's house, each and every person matters. Again, back in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, Paul talks about the body of Christ. And he says, and this is the Justin Hale's commentary on these verses, "Shall I say to my hand, I have no need of thee? Shall I say to my foot, I don't need you? Or I'm mad because I'm not the ear and you're the foot," and on we go. He says, no. He says, all parts are needful. We all come together in unity, and it's all needful for the ministry of the church. He goes on and he talks about those unseemly parts, those parts that are hidden, those parts that are behind the scene. For the longest time, up till about 2 months ago, I dealt with a pain right here. Now, my heart's over here, so not heart pain. I've dealt with a pain right here. And I had my gallbladder removed. It wasn't it. I've been trying to get that gallbladder back. They don't want to get back to me. It wasn't my gallbladder. But you know what? Before I started having that pain, I didn't think of nothing in this area. And they say it's nerve damage or whatnot. But the past 2 months, I've been able to lose 35 pounds. And so, go Jesus. You say, what kind of diet are you on? The starvation diet. And knowing the direction you're going isn't good. But you know, that pain went away. But this area, before that pain happened, and before I started dealing with it, I didn't care about this area here. I didn't focus on this area. I didn't know all the ins and outs in this area. I mean, your gallbladder was there, liver, I believe, is there, and things like that. I didn't even care 2 cents about anything in this area. I'll tell you what, when it started hurting, I felt it. I cared about it then. I knew it was there then. And Paul, in 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about all the parts of the body of Christ, and he says that there are some parts you can't see, but are needful for the overall ministry and the ongoing of the ministry of the local church. And I want to say this morning
that everybody is equal in God's eyes. There are gifts and callings for everybody. Christy's down in the nursery right now. We can't see her, but she can see us on camera. And there's those, and I'm tooting their horn, but the Teagues have put the tables up. That's the gift of helps. There's others who assist them. Others have been at this church on and off all week trying to solve some minor issues we've had concerning the church and the building. We're on top of that. But listen, it has taken every person operating out of their spiritual gifts and things that's been within their reach to take care of for the church to go forward. We see that there's an equality here. I do not believe he's putting the gold and silver above the wood and the clay. He's just saying that in a great house, not only there are vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth. Notice a third thing about the contents. Not only there's various vessels, there's equality among the vessels, but then there's a quality looked for among the vessels. He says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. And he stops a moment. He continues and says, and some to honor and some to dishonor. I believe he is connecting the honorable pieces of furniture to the dishonorable pieces of furniture or the household utensils. There were some that were able to be used for a while but did not maintain a usable status. And because of that, there's a special quality that's looked for within these pieces of furniture and household utensils to be used. Let me mention this. It's kind of like you go into a restaurant and you sit down and your silverware is brought to you. And then you look at the fork and you say, "Mom, what in the world is this?" And like Christy says, the waitress comes and says, "Is there anything you need?" "Yes, can I please have a scalding cup of hot water?" You want to know why? It's because that fork had something stuck to it. It wasn't fully washed to be used again. I thought about this boss that I had back when I worked at Florida Irrigation. And right when I got saved, back in 2002, he would come in every day and he would use the same coffee cup, pure white coffee cup, drink, sit around and talk, "All right, y'all get to work," sit it back down. He just rinsed it out one wash, put it there. And that ring in there kept getting darker and darker and darker. We won't talk too much about that. There's probably some of those in our homes right now. But he would rinse it out, put it there. And he would use it every single morning. He would pour it in, pour the same coffee. I'm thinking, man, that thing is looking like a tire. He got by for a while with a park cleaning. But there came a time where he had to scrub that thing. I want to say this morning that when it comes to the house of God and God using us, there are spiritual gifts among us. We all have at least one spiritual gift God wants to use us. Some are household utensils as gold and silver, but others are wood and of earth. And listen, the quality that God looks for in order to use us is that we must be usable. Let me ask us all a question this morning. Are we usable for God this morning? Or are we like that cup that my old boss used to have? Faucet in the bathroom, put it back down. Or are we trying to stretch out with ultimately having to deal with issues that will take a deep cleaning? Listen, we can go and we can move and we can play church as long as we want to. And this starts with me. You can only go so long serving God dirty. There comes a point in time where God is looking for a vessel of honor. And some of these are honorable, but some are of dishonor. From grace to disgrace. said, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. The quality God is looking for is the quality of cleanliness. And I want to say that anybody's listening online, this message is for you as well. We all at times accumulate dirt if we're not careful, and we try to use the same coffee mug, and we go to the spiritual sink and we rinse it out just a little. We put it back under the coffee mug, and we get by and we get by and we get by. But in a great house, God's house, those who God uses are to be vessels of honor, those who want to be clean, those who want to be pure, and those who want to shine for Jesus. I wonder this morning, does anybody want to be a vessel of honor or just sip on the coffee grains? Not only do we see that there's the contents of this house, but then there's the course of the house. Notice, if you would, in verse 21. He lays out the variety in verse number 20. Gold, silver, earth, or wood, earth. Some were honorable. Now they're dishonorable. Grace to disgrace. But in verse number 21 is the course of action to take to be a vessel of honor. He says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, that is, those dishonorable, whether he himself has dishonored the Lord or dishonored his vessel, or whether it's a group or a clique of people that the person's with, if he wants to be a vessel of honor, here's the course of action. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. The key word here is purge. Purge. The word purge here, or if a man therefore purge himself from these, the word purge means a thorough cleanse. And I can't help to think about the dishwasher. Again, we were able, God blessed us with a different place to live with a little more room in it. And trust me, we have crawled before walking in our marriage. We've been married 14 years, and we've been living in little over 1,000 square foot in 14 years. God has blessed us. And we got a little more room, and we're planning on hosting some of you. Well, all of you, one by one. Let me rephrase that. We want to host everybody, little by little. That's the plan anyway. We want more room, you know. And but so what came with the house? And again, praise to God, what came with the house? The refrigerator, microwave, stove, and dishwasher came. I said, praise the Lord. Because I've been a dishwasher for way too long. But that dishwasher is there. And it had low heat, medium heat, high heat, all these heats. I said, okay, just put it in the dishwasher and let the dishwasher take control of it. You know what I think in all spirituality? I think when it comes to God's house, He wants to use all of us. Somewhere along the way, myself, if I'm not careful and repented up to date, can accumulate some grime. Like that coffee cup. We go from Sunday to Sunday, from week to week. We're hoping for a miracle. We're praying for a breakthrough, but it hasn't happened. Maybe there's someone here this morning that is involved in something that you are praying. You earnestly want to be a vessel of honor, and you're waiting for God to intervene, for something to happen to pull you out of that. Well, the Bible says here, if a man therefore purge himself, you're waiting on the perfect environment, perfect set of circumstances to serve God wholly and purely, many times it'll never happen. You have got to purge yourself. Put yourself in God's dishwasher. Come down to the altar and ask God to thoroughly search your heart and to clean your heart, every area of your heart and life, to clean and to be thorough. He said, if a man therefore purge himself from these. So the purging is through the idea of a thorough rinse, the dishwasher. Cleanliness is the foundation of servitude. Cleanliness is the foundation of servitude. If I'm going to serve God, I have to keep on desiring to be clean. I have, when I fall, Lord, forgive me. I repent of that. Not to habitually get in a situation where I'm habitually sinning and I'm in bondage and I'm attached to things and I can't let go of them because they have me. If I stay repentant of those things and confess those things, they won't have a hold of me. But the problem is somewhere along in the struggle, we let go. And the whole idea is to go to God and allow Him to put us in His heavenly dishwasher. Lord, I want to be used and I want to serve, Lord, but the foundation of my servitude right now is not holiness. It's dirtiness. And I want to say this morning as a side note, if the foundation of our servitude is dirtiness and maliciousness and guile and deceit, then everything that projects from our servitude is not going to be wholehearted. It's not going to be God-centered. It's not going to be God-delivered. Because it's not springing from a clean heart. You don't put dirty dishes back in the cupboard. You don't put dirty silverware back in the drawer to be used again. You put it in the dishwasher. He says, if a man therefore purge himself, to be thoroughly cleansed, he shall be a vessel unto honor. And so we see the course here, but then lastly, I want you to notice not only the contents, the course, but then the cause. What's the cause of all of this? Well, verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. The cause or the purpose of the vessel is to honor God with it. It's to be used where God can use us as one of His vessels. The word, I want you to notice, sanctified here means, it means cleansed, it means consecrated, it means pure. The word meet here, M-E-E-T, means easy to use. It means profitable. So he says, if a man therefore purge himself from the dishonorable state of the furniture or household utensils, if he purge himself, separates himself, gets a thorough cleaning of himself, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified or clean and meet for the master's use, which means he is easily sought after for service. He is in position to be used. He's profitable. Where he says, meet for the master's use. Paul is telling Timothy that the person that has been thoroughly cleaned and cleansed and wants to be a vessel of honor, he'll be ready to be used. And when God needs somebody, he'll go sending after you. I think about in the book of Philemon, where Onesimus was a servant of Philemon. And there was an occasion where Onesimus robbed Philemon. And he stole his possessions or some things that he had. And Onesimus left down a long and broken road. But keep in mind, Paul wrote the book of Philemon to Philemon. And in that book of Philemon, Paul wrote this. He talked about Onesimus and he was converted. He talked about, if Onesimus has wronged you, put that on my account, Paul's account. And so now we have Onesimus, and he was a saved man. You see, that long broken road led Onesimus to Rome, where Onesimus ended up in jail. You read it, it's there. But guess who was and has been in that jail waiting on him? Paul. Paul's in jail. You can think what you want to. I believe this. I believe when Onesimus rebelled against Philemon, he left in a long and broken road, and he ended up in jail. At least, if not next to Paul, he was in the same jail as Paul. And he heard the preaching of Paul. And he heard the gospel. You see, providence led Onesimus to jail so he can be converted. And now we have Onesimus. Look at this. Now we have Onesimus written a letter to Philemon by the hand of Paul. Now Onesimus is leaving jail. This used to be a broken road, but God blessed the broken road. because he ended up in jail and he got saved, and now he is delivering the epistle to Philemon from the hand of Paul. And there's a phrase in that book that says this: receive Onesimus, for he is profitable to me, who once was unprofitable. There was a time in Onesimus' life where he was a vessel of dishonor. But because he listened to God and got saved and allowed the providential hand of God to work in his life, and he surrendered and repented of that, God blessed that broken road. And now Onesimus is profitable. And I want to say this morning that it doesn't matter how low you have gotten. It doesn't matter if you went from grace to disgrace. God is wanting you to get back from disgrace to grace this morning. He's wanting to lead you down a blessed road that was broken. He's wanting to use you in the house of God. He wants to lift you up so that you can shine for Him. That's the long and short of it this morning. A vessel of honor. Because, he says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use. Prepared, profitable for the master's use. Are we prepared to be used by God? Are we profitable this morning? Are we cleansed to the things we know we should be cleansed from? Do we want to be a vessel of honor, or do we want to continue to play church? I want to be a vessel of honor, don't you? Well, we say that there's a cause here. Man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet. He's prepared for the master's use. He is readily at hand. He is profitable, meet for the master's use. And notice this, and prepared unto every good work. That just simply means when they come to the Lord, if they've already been saved, and they're not necessarily where they want to be, Lord, I repent of my loose living. Lord, I repent of not being still. Lord, I repent of being idle. Lord, I repent of not doing something I should have done. Omission and commission, that covers it all. Lord, I repent of that. They repent. And now God has received them in the sense of communion, that relationship. Your position is always there. You're never unsaved. But your communion has been restored. You've acknowledged it. You've repented of it. Now you're cleansed, and God is leading you down a path of usury. And guess what that leads to? More areas of usury. We repent. God positions us to use us. We've been faithful for a while. He uses us some more. He says, prepared unto every good work. God has another work for you this morning. God has another work for me. And this is what I found out about trying and striving to be a vessel of honor. It's simply this, is that I slip, I repent, I get up with all my heart. I want to go after the Lord again and what He has for me to impact lives. I do that to the best of my ability, and it just seems like He opens up more doors. You walk to those doors, you serve, you drop the ball, you faint, you repent, you get up, you go back again. Vessel of honor, I've learned from my mistakes, I'm trying life again. God opens up more doors. I believe this morning there are some doors that God wants to open up for you. But the first step, this may not be for everybody this morning, but it is to everybody. The first step is coming and saying, Lord, I'm broken. Would you please fix me? Would you please mold me and use me, Lord? I want that next door to open in my life to be used of you. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for all things, God. I pray the word of God was understood this morning, Lord. I pray it landed on hearts where the soil has been tilled and ready to go. I thank you for my church. I thank you for all things that you do. In Jesus' name. You need to come. You come this morning. Special invitation.
empty and broken.
Anybody this morning?
I came back to him, a vessel unworthy.
Amen. Anybody else?
And so scarred by sin, but he did not despair.
Anybody want to be used of God this morning?
Over again.
This don't mean you're out of the will of God.
I bless the day he didn't throw the clay away.
You come this morning. Yes.
He molds me and makes me into his likeness. He fashions this clay, a vessel of honor I am today.
You come if you need to come.
And it's all because Jesus didn't throw the clay away.
Just come and praise him this morning.
He is the potter, and I am the clay, molded in his likeness. You see, he wants me today. But when I stumble and I fall and my vessel breaks, he just picks up those old pieces. He doesn't throw the clay away.
Come on down and pray if you need to pray. Don't put it off.
See, over and over, he molds me and makes me into his likeness. He fashions this clay, a vessel of honor I am today.
Yes.
And it's all because Jesus didn't throw the clay away. A vessel of honor I am today. And it's all because Jesus didn't throw the clay away.
We still have a couple praying, maybe finishing up, and appreciate those who responded this morning. And let me just say that the service doesn't conclude after the last amen. You know, take it home with you. And I trust if the Holy Spirit has spoken to you that you will do business with him. And we appreciate the Lord and all that he does. Any word this morning before we conclude? Appreciate the Lord not throwing me away. And we're all a trophy of grace because of him. All right. Thank you, men. Choir practice 5:15. 5:15. Be here for that. Looking forward to the evening service. And most likely we're going to flip a page in 2 Timothy and deal with Paul's departure from this world and some things that took place during that time. So we're looking forward to that. Remember those on our prayer sheet, and keep lifting one another up in prayer. And remember conference tonight, special conference, won't take long, and concerning the church and the roof of the church. So looking forward to the night service. All hearts clear before we go. All right. Well, if so, everyone have a blessed afternoon. Well, Jeff Hodges, would you close us out in a word of prayer?